While part of me feels as though the Christmas season has barely ended, this podcast will be published on Shrove Tuesday. Tomorrow, Lent begins. This is Dr. Jim Tonkowicz, and you're listening to the After Dinner Scholar from Wyoming Catholic College. Lent, wrote New Testament scholar Dr. N.T. Wright, is a time for discipline, for confession, for honesty, not because God is mean or fault-finding or finger-pointing, but because he wants us to know the joy of being cleaned out, ready for all the good things he now has in store. And even if we readily agree, well, discipline and sacrifice comes hard to most of us. As Pope St. John Paul II noted, our age, regrettably, is particularly susceptible to the temptation towards selfishness, which always lurks within the human heart. The spirit of the world affects our inner propensity to give ourselves unselfishly to others and drives us to satisfy our own particular interests. Lent is the needed antidote, and our Wyoming Catholic College community takes Lent very seriously. Guiding us through Lent is our college chaplain, Father Paul Ward. I asked Father Ward to explain a bit of the theology behind this season of penance and fasting.
We see that in the season of Lent, there are a couple aspects, and one important one is the preparation for baptism. We have the catechumens that are coming in, and as the catechumens prepare for baptism, all of the rest of the people in the parishes see this and remind themselves of baptism and its commitments. And the second aspect is the preparation for the resurrection of the Lord. And it's always good to remember that. One year, even when I was in my parish in Michigan, on the first week of Lent, I gave a whole homily about the resurrection to remind everybody and to motivate everybody for all the penances of Lent. And I got a lot of very positive feedback for the reminder and the motivation of why we're doing all these beautiful things. The liturgy reflects a lot of these aspects of Lent. You see a lot of details that have to do with baptism. If one is in a parish where there are candidates coming in for baptism who are adults or of the age of reason, there are the rites of the RCIA in most of the parishes now. And so also we wear purple as a penitential color for that other second aspect of Lent. We remove flowers except for solemnities to kind of sadden the atmosphere. We suppress the Alleluia, we suppress the Gloria, and that also adds a tone of repentance, because these words, Alleluia and the Song of the Gloria, they are just a little too joyful for the season of Lent as we accompany Christ through his passion until we get to the resurrection. All that joy will explode in the period of Easter. So we're going to put that aside and focus on the penitential season of Lent. Some parishes are using the older rites, and it seems to me they're getting more popular now everywhere, the rites that were used before the Second Vatican Council for Mass, the old Mass. And they had other features in the liturgy, such as the omission of the tract, certain aspects of prayers at the foot of the altar, to prayers that were said before the Mass actually began, and even more changes in what they call Passiontide, the last 2 weeks of the Lenten season. So there's some things about the doctrines and liturgical aspects of the season of Lent.
Well, most people think about is, you know, giving things up. You know, what am I going to give up for Lent? I remember as a kid, I was going to give up broccoli 1 year, and that was a non-starter with my parents.
I'm sure.
But what's the point of the fasting and of the abstaining?
You know, fasting has accompanied the church since the earliest times that we can remember, and there is even a very hard fast. You know, these Christians did things that we would consider quite extreme, of 40 hours all the way through, Friday and Holy Saturday, all the way until Easter, and it was an extreme fast. And even to this day, you have monastic communities that will fast the entire season of Lent, like the Great Carthus in Switzerland. And so prayer, fasting, and almsgiving are three penitential acts that we have seen ever since the times of the apostles. We see them in the Acts of the Apostles. And even to this day, in the norms on indulgences, those three acts are blessed with the reward of a partial indulgence when one practices any of these three. And so the idea is to deny our appetites, right? We're not trying to kill ourselves, right? We're trying to be, as I say, penitential, not suicidal. And so just saying no to our appetites and knowing how to control ourselves bears a lot of, it impacts many other aspects of one's spiritual life. Even if one doesn't have so much of a disordered addiction to food, but maybe they have a temper. And so a man who has a temper begins to fast, and in that fasting, he trains himself to control those impulses. And even he will start controlling his impulses of anger. So fasting is highly to be recommended, not just in the season of Lent, but as a general practice of the of penance in the church for the partial indulgence, but also as just good ascetical self-control and discipline.
Well, and self-knowledge, as you say, when I fast, I get cranky. Well, am I cranky because I'm fasting, or am I cranky and the food masks over the fact that I'm cranky?
That's an excellent point. So fasting has so many good things, and I've always encouraged people to do it. Of course, within measuring, some people have limitations because of their health or dietary issues or things like that, and they have to be attentive to that, so they shouldn't do that. But generally, most people can fast, and it's good for them to do so. We just like to eat food. There's a lot of pleasure in eating food.
Yeah.
And to deny ourselves that kind of pleasure is a very helpful thing to have a general sense of self-control in all the other areas of our spiritual life.
Yeah. A friend of mine put on quite a bit of weight, and he says it's all nervous eating. Mm-hmm. It's just, I'm just upset, and so I snack.
And he finds comfort in that.
And there's comfort in that. We all do.
Sure.
Right, right. And fasting is like, no, we're not going to find comfort in that. We're going to find it in Christ.
Right. And the time will come for us to find a little bit of enjoyment in food. At Easter, we'll eat more amply. If there's a wedding or a birthday party, we generally eat a little more. So there's a time and place for us to enjoy food a bit more. But
you haven't been here. Wait till you see the student Easter feast after the vigil.
I have heard stories.
Oh,
this
my
is my
goodness.
First year at Wyoming Catholic College, so I've heard it's quite exciting.
We've talked about denying ourselves things. What about the other side? Lent needn't be simply subtraction. You can add things, right?
Sure. And it's highly to be recommended. Sometimes when people make resolutions for Lent, they'll say, I'm going to stop eating chocolate or potato chips or these kinds of things. And that's highly to be encouraged. But sometimes adopting a behavior which actually helps one convert and change their life can be much more fruitful for the Lenten season. And it doesn't have to be either or. You can still deny yourselves a chocolate, which is a very good thing to do. For example, it's good for someone to know, as you just mentioned, regarding one's self-knowledge, to know one's dominant defect. And it's kind of the root of the things that gets me into most mischief or most temptations in my life, you know? And so if one has a dominant defect, for example, of anger, he'll find himself easily irritated, he'll explode in shouting, he'll insult people more easily and that sort of thing, and gets into quarrels. So that person should say, well, what can I do then to address that particular defect in my life? And I've recommended a lot of other types of exercises in Lent besides denying food. For example, maybe if you always like to prove yourself right, or if you're very proud in your own judgment, admit to another person once a day during Lent that you're wrong. Oh, that's a hard one, right? Or again, if someone has a lot of difficulties with impure images, well, stop using TV and internet through the season of Lent, except bare necessity or work or something like that. If one is the type of person that amasses wealth or possessions or doesn't donate generously, easily, making a donation each day for Lent, or take something in your house and throw it in the trash once a day during Lent. And it detaches one from all this useless stuff that we often accumulate around ourselves. If one speaks ill of others, wouldn't it be nice to say something good about another person when you're conversing with friends? Make a point of doing that each day during the season of Lent. Or maybe simply you don't pray every day and you'd like to change your habit of life in that aspect. And so the saints of the Christian centuries have often recommended meditation. Maybe you need to add this to your life. So Lent is a good point to add this to your life. And then we don't have to stop after the season of Lent. We're doing a life change during this period of Lent, which is highly to be recommended. Then there's also the prayer of the Via Crucis, a very easy plenary indulgence to obtain that we can do all around the year. I've known many people that each day during the season of Lent, they'll stop and say the Via Crucis. It's not hard, and it's a very beautiful meditation of Christ's sufferings. So those are some things that are not just giving up food or comforts, but ways that we can really convert ourselves during this season.
How about books? I know I have, during more than one Lent, I've read and then reread Father Richard John Newhouse's book, Death on a Friday Afternoon, which is the meditation on the last seven words of Christ. And that's been very eye-opening and encouraging. What other books would you recommend?
Oh, there are so many great books during the season of Lent. Of course, there are the great classics, like The Imitation of Christ of Thomas A. Kempis, and the Introduction to the Devout Life, also known as Philotheia by St. Francis de Sales. Those are great works for any layman to really read and get a lot of fruit out of. And if you want a little more meaty reading, you can dig into someone like St. John of the Cross and his discussions of the purifications of the spiritual life and detachment from everything except the Lord, the darknesses of the spiritual life. These things can be very useful for meditation during the season of Lent. If one would like to start reading Church Fathers and wants to read one that's good spiritual reading, because sometimes you read the Church Fathers and they start discussing about whether the Holy Spirit is God and they're arguing against the Arians that Jesus Christ is truly divine. So it gets kind of theological. It can be dry for the average reader. But St. Cyprian of Carthage has treatises, and they're like a meditation on the Our Father, on envy and jealousy, and other things like that. And they make really, really good spiritual reading. So if one wants to dig into Church Fathers, this might be a good opportunity to do that, and it's a book to be recommended to.
Or the sermons of St. John Chrysostom.
Oh, there you go. Oh, St. John Chrysostom. Yeah, they call him the Golden Mouth for a reason. He's amazing.
Now, it seems to me that we don't want to do the bare minimum for Lent, but I was talking to someone yesterday, and my goodness, this young lady has a list as long as your arm. On one hand, more power to her, may God bless it, but on the other hand, we can go overboard.
That's true. At any point in the spiritual
and we're,
life.
And you're a chaplain for college students.
Right. And sometimes you find extraordinarily devout students, which it's a very beautiful aspect of our college. There are many very devout students. And there is that youthful enthusiasm that wants to do all these great things. So I think a good approach there would be to have some spiritual direction, maybe to visit with a priest in the confessional and recommend the things that you're going to do. And just having another person put their nose in your spiritual business might help you keep balance. I have found that sometimes when people want to do way too much, what will happen is that it becomes too much and they can't do it. And then they'll give up and they'll stop doing everything. And it really turns into spiritual abandonment. So having a bit of realism, I've often recommended a different approach. Start with something small. When that goes well for you, you can add to it. When that starts going well for you, you can add to it. And so in an incremental way, in a realistic way, you can make sure you don't exaggerate too much.
Yeah, I think that's a problem that many of us face with Lent. We have all sorts of good intentions, and my goodness, aren't those first 2 weeks of Lent lovely? And then it starts getting long.
Right. And so that gets to the point of perseverance, a general Catholic virtue. You know, we can say that it's not the person who starts the race, but the one that finishes it that gets the prize, right? And no one has ever praised another person for starting to do a heroic act, but then quitting halfway through. It's when we complete the heroic act, right? Someone's drowning in the river, and you thought about going and saving them, and you started going down towards the river, and you stopped. No, you got to go in there and save that person. Then we're going to call you a hero because you saved that other person. So it's the completion of the act that we really need to focus on. I think of a part of J.R.R. Tolkien's The Lord of the Rings, right? They call it a trilogy, really it's six books. And at the end, there is an episode with one of the heroines named Eowyn. And Tolkien, in reflecting, using her thoughts, upholds the value of having the firmness of mind to go on with a dull task until it's done. So sometimes things get exciting at the beginning, and they get a little dull once you get into them. And that's where you need that fortitude to press on and persevere. So a couple things can help. One, I think of what they do in recovery programs, such as Alcoholics Anonymous or something like that, is you have a buddy system. So maybe you have a parent, a confessor, a spiritual director, a good friend. And that person, maybe even a spouse, can be a sort of point where you check and you help each other persevere through all the 40 days and not just give up real quickly. Another simple thing that can help is just have a piece of paper where you write down 1 through 40, and then each day you put a little plus or a little minus, whether you fulfilled your aspects of Lent. And if you see after the first 2 weeks you have lots of minuses, not a lot of pluses, it can just be a very concrete way to keep track of what you're doing and also motivate you to really get on things. And when you start seeing lots of pluses, it gets actually very encouraging. Mm-hmm. So persevering really gives one a lot of happiness, right? Hard to do up front, gives you a lot of happiness on the back end.
Well, and as my son once pointed out, Lent is 40 days. The Easter season, when we celebrate and party, is 50.
It is, and it's the larger season. In fact, the 40 days in Latin, they called quadragesima. Those who are more familiar with the older customs and the liturgy in the church know that word. In the ancient church fathers and even the Council of Nicaea, they use another word, the Tesseracostes, which is like Pentecostes, but it's the Tessera is the 40. So just like they call it the 40 days in Lent, they also call it the 40 days in Easter, in Greek, and they use this term in the as early as the 3rd and 4th centuries in church fathers and in councils.
Mm-hmm. So Easter's so always coming.
It's always coming. And we always have to remember the purpose of all these things is to look forward to the resurrection of Christ and his triumph over sin and death.
Jesus' call to confession and penance, says the Catechism of the Catholic Church, like that of the prophets before him, does not aim first at outward works, sackcloth and ashes, fasting and mortification, but at the conversion of the heart, interior conversion. May your observance of Lent bring about greater and greater conversion of heart in you and in those around you. It is a time of great sacrifice that by God's grace can blossom into a time of immense joy. For Wyoming Catholic College, this is Dr. Jim Tonkowicz.